I had the blessing to be able to actually figure stuff out and take some time and live at home. And like, and I understand that. And, but at that moment I was like, okay, like, why don't I take a step back? Like, let's figure out what I actually like to do. Yeah. And it was like, wow, he started just like opening my mind on just all these different perspectives and just meditation, letting go. And letting go was the biggest one, but letting go from the past and letting go from the future, this anxiety about the future, and then this depression about the past. And it was like, yo, well, just be present, just be here. Yeah. And that's where the creativity became, where everything emerges out of is the present moment and your ability to be silent.
Hey there, and welcome to Speak Easy with Kendra Fisher. Join me each week as my guests and I take a deep dive into all of the conversations we've been taught are better left unsaid. No more silence, no more hiding. This is a safe space where anything goes. This week, join me for part two of my conversation with Coach Chippy. He started with crypto videos and now he's a coach to the pros. Let's learn what it takes to be a creator and, more importantly, where he plans on taking the Style and Flow brand next.
I started making crypto TikTok videos about what I was learning about crypto.
Yeah.
And that kind of just made a video every single day. I was just like, I'm just going to make these videos. I'm living at home learning about crypto. I threw some money in crypto around 2020 or whatever. And I was like, I'm going to start this crypto company and this new kind of like new, I'm going to build this crypto business because it's like the next future. It's like, the government can't control it. There's no, and I was at that point, I was very anti-establishment. So it was like, oh, crypto is going to be the way.
Yeah.
And and it was like, whatever was happening in the world, like I was just like focused on my own thing. Like everyone was talking about this, you know, pandemic. And I was like, no, I'm just locked in on my crypto right now. And I'm just like, I fell in love with this, like making these TikToks. I remember it was Chips and Crypto was the name of the account.
I love it.
And then it was Crypto.
Is it still up?
I think I brought it down. I took it down. But
I
want
a sneak peek.
Yeah, I will. I have it all them saved. But it was like,
I love it.
Crypto talk with Chippy, no edits. I would just sit there and talk for a minute, and
love
I was
it.
Like, and I could just do like four of those a day, and I started just ripping these four videos about crypto a day.
I'm so resisting right now to get into like crypto talk with you and check out.
I know. So I was
check
big
on what NFT market you
dove
into.
Oh my God. I was working for an NFT company. I opened up Twitter and I was in like Twitter spaces in Discord, like becoming the marketing manager for an NFT. And I was like, oh, this is the future. We're all like,
not going to lie. I started down the path for a moment and I was like,
goodness.
I can't do this.
It was bad. I was living in these Twitter spaces. I was making content. And then all of a sudden I saw Austin Alexander was making these hockey skits. And this was like probably 7 months later after I making these crypto videos. And I started making these snowboard videos. I was like, oh, let me see. I can make crypto, but I can also make snowboard videos. I love snowboarding.
Yeah.
And then I saw Austin's video, like a AAA coaches during tryouts or something like that. And I was like, oh, that's funny. I like that. And then one day, I was just in my kitchen, like 12 a.m. I was like, oh, I'm just going to do a AAA coaches during tryouts or something. And I was like, don't telegraph your passes, boys. And then, or something like that. And then that video did better than any other video that I'd done in crypto.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, okay. The next day, what did I do? I made another hockey video.
Yeah.
The next day, and that one did pretty good. And the next day, I made another hockey video. And then the next day, I made another. And then the next day, I made four. And then the next day I made freaking seven.
Yeah.
You know, like I was just like, and then I had all these, I was doing like Chippy during tryouts. So kids were all commenting their numbers. It was like, do number 17 during tryouts. And I would reply to their comment. 17 because good edge work out there. And then, it was like this easy content to make where I didn't have to edit it. I could just pump these videos. It was just, kind of the same approach I was doing in the crypto. It was like, I'm going to do it in hockey. And I was like, no one's going to make more videos than me. Like that was kind of like,
that's it.
The self-belief where it's like, no one's going to do kind of what I'm doing right now. No one's locking in every single day, making like 16 videos in a day. I was just like, I'm doing this. I was like, I saw it. And then I was like, oh, and then I was like, I'm going to run with this and kind of see if I can build a company or a brand in the.
So when would you say that start? When did you start making hockey videos?
It's got to be like 2021. Like this was like the summer. It was summer of 21, right after I grad, or maybe 22.
So like two, three years ago.
Yeah, I think it was 22.
Okay.
And then it was that summer. And then I remember my buddy started a brand called Vertical and Breathing. And okay. It was all about gratitude. This was like kind of like the moment we were in life. He's really into music. So
yeah,
shout out to Oliver. And he got me in the studio. He started making music. And I remember I cried in the studio because he had just been so vulnerable on a song. And I was like, yo, I went through the same thing that you went through. And I was like, oh, like, that's crazy. So yeah. He got me into the studio making music. And I was like, I love that. I'm making my like kind of comedy videos at this point. And then I was like, yo, it'd be sick if I like kind of made a play off of Vertical and Breathing and did like a hockey related kind of one.
Yeah.
And I was like, style and flow. Like, and so people think that flow was like hair. And it's like kind of like a double entendre, but like flow was really like being in the flow state.
Yeah.
And like this, like finding your flow. And like I found my flow in creativity.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, like, yeah, style, like be unique, be yourself, have your own style. And yeah. That flow was like, oh, be in that flow state. And then I was yeah. like, and it was kind of like, if I'm going to embark on this journey of being this creator, if I'm going into public now, I gotta have this style and flow about me. I gotta be like, you know, I gotta have some confidence and have some swagger and kind of like embody this character, Coach Chippy. And that's what kind of became like my mantra was like, don't think, just flow, baby. Like it just became yeah. this, I'm not overthinking. I'm confident in myself and I'm kind of conquering this anxiety that yeah. I had gone through from 2 years prior, a year prior. And I was like, I can go out of the house and I can, you know, talk to people and I can, you know, have some style and flow. And it became kind of like my lifestyle was style and flow. Like, let me just yeah. be myself. Let me be unique and yeah. let me create something new every single day. And let me yeah. have some flow, get in that flow state, whether it's hockey, whether it's making a video, not yeah. overthinking anything.
Yeah.
And that's where these comedy. And then I started doing the player impersonations and
love it.
It was a lot more aggressive earlier when no one knew who I was. I was swearing in my videos. I was like yeah. no filter. And then as I started to like, okay, like I don't need to go that. I can kind of be funny without doing that.
Yeah.
And then, so yeah, like those videos were a lot more edgy and I probably was saying yeah. a lot more crazy stuff than I would say now. Because mm-hmm. as I've developed, like your comedy gets better. Your like your sense, like how I want to be perceived. Like,
yeah,
it was like, instead of just being this, I was like, I just want to be this like in your face person at the start. And then I was like, okay, well now people know who I am. Let yeah. me actually put a better image forward.
Yeah.
The goal with any of these videos is not to make anyone feel bad about like, yeah. that's never an intention. It's really just to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And that really, as I went through that awakening journey, became like my mission or my purpose.
Yeah.
Was if I could make one person laugh today, it was a good day. And that became the whole Coach Chippy's purpose in life was like, I'm just going to try to make someone laugh and not take life too seriously, because up to that point I was taking myself too seriously. I was not letting go, and it was like, let me let the mm-hmm. universe, like trust the universe,
yeah,
trust the world, trust however you look at it. And for me it was like, just trust the universe, let go.
Yeah.
And then even now I used to get so much anxiety on planes. Now I just get on there, shut my eyes, let go. Like I have no yeah. control. It was yeah. like, and that's what Alan Watts said, it's like, I'm not even in control of my body doing its amazing thing right now. My yeah. body's pumping. My heart's doing, I'm not controlling that.
Yeah.
It's just happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my goodness. Like I had been in the constant need to be in control.
Yeah.
Where I can now just let go. You know, I go yeah. on the plane, I got no control. It's if it happens, like anything can happen and I got no control over it. So let me yeah. just not worry about it. And
yeah.
then that was like this freeing like thought process on life. Like I got no control how anyone else reacts. I can only control how yeah. I react.
Yeah.
And it was like, I can protect my energy, you know, yeah. and it's like, I used to, you know, I went through a lot of things with different relationships and friends and, you know, being able to protect your energy and let go
yeah.
and forgive, and then yeah. forgive yourself for stuff that you may
yeah.
have done in the past. And so it's been a healing journey now, because I wasn't the best human being in high school. I didn't even know who I was.
Yeah.
I was, you know, you're going to parties, yeah. you're out of your mind doing stupid stuff. And
yeah.
so I've had to process it and be like, I've had to forgive myself and mm-hmm. know that I've and grow and learn from it.
Yeah.
And but also being able to forgive other people and not being a victim has
yeah.
been a big one too. And so being able to forgive has been a huge like healing process for me. And
yeah.
And I'm not a perfect human being, and I've never going to claim to be that, and I'll never judge anyone else for what they do, because I know there's stuff that I've done that I'm not proud of. And being able to, yeah, just be able to forgive yourself and also forgive others is like a big one. And just the empathy, I've been trying to develop more empathy for others.
Yeah.
And you go on this massive kind of healing journey, and I feel like that's where I'm at. I'm still healing right now, but that's kind of where I'm at on the journey.
I don't think it ever stops. I think that's the coolest part of it. I think the more that you open yourself to learning and being open to what you don't understand and you don't control, the more you actually allow space for these things to become obvious. And I mean, like, I'm sitting here like in and out of goosebumps just listening to you, because I relate so strongly to a lot of it. And I think that one of the coolest things is when you get to a place in your recovery or in your healing, in your growth. I mean, I think that that's just a constant journey. I think that if we ever feel as though we're healed or we've grown or we're there, I think that's when we find ourselves back in a state of anxiety and in a state of panic, because that plateau is deadly. Complacency is deadly. And I think that it's really just allowing ourselves to be present every day and recognizing that that's what we've got. And I love it too, like with your brand name. I mean, Style and Flow. And I mean, it's really just kind of flowing with being with the present too.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, it's so great. And so many people kind of catch on to it, and you can, you know, make games of it. I, you know, your top of your TikTok, I think you got Connor Bedard there fixing his hair, doing the flow.
Yeah.
And there's so certainly ways to play off it. I mean, for me, I hashtag mentally fit a lot, and it's, you know, everybody kind of looks at mental fitness. And for me, it's actually something so much deeper than that. It was an idea that was presented to me by Dr. Peter Jensen years and years ago. And Peter really kind of approached mental health as fitness. He approached it in a way that I was able to understand it differently in terms of managing it better for myself, because it was conceptual to me. I mean, when I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression and OCD and agoraphobia, it was also conceptual. It was like, okay, this isn't just in my head. This isn't just like you've just diagnosed me with a bunch of stuff that doesn't match with Team Canada goalie, you know, daughter of great parents, friends. I've got, you know, this doesn't match to me. There was no, and it was that piece of control. It was that piece of feeling like I had all of these things. But when I learned mentally fit, it was really the concept of being able to challenge myself mentally and challenging the fitness of my mind and take a look at it differently than what I understood it, not just accepting that it's, you know, something that has to be, but instead something I don't have control over everything. And what I can control, I will work to improve. And what I can't control, I have to work to accept. And we tend to assume those things will happen for us. And I think that people don't like to participate in ways like meditation or journaling because it's uncomfortable. It's mm-hmm. really uncomfortable to look yourself in the mirror and pull apart where you haven't done well and show up differently. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, watching even what you just said about your earlier content being a lot harder and a lot more aggressive and feeling like you had to work hard to offer what comes naturally and gives you purpose anyway. And I think that kind of journey into a softer presence is really just purely your kind of growth journey and healing journey on display for everybody. And people, I get that that's going really deep for hockey videos for a lot of people, but at the core of it, I mean, it's really watching you come into peace with who you are and show up differently. And I think that's just incredible.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been, and it was like a, yeah, I guess it was at the beginning, you're like, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to build a presence. You're not
knowing. Prove yourself.
No one, prove. Yeah. It's like, no one knows. So it's like, how can I add shock value?
Yeah.
And that's what's scary about the internet is that like, it's shock value now. It's like, how can we take it to this next level?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was seeing like the views go up and you start like being so attached to like how the videos are performing that, well, how do I top that? How do
and
I
the chemical response you get from that.
Oh, the dopamine. I'm talking about dopamine and like it's insane, like the level of dopamine you receive if your video does really well and you have millions of views, people commenting, oh, this is awesome. Like that dopamine is nothing. There's nothing like that. Like there's, you know, alcohol, there's drugs, but like the dopamine of like
that the validation
and yeah. like, and I actually made a song called Validation Seeking, and like I just I got into music became my outlet even throughout this creator influencer journey, and how
which is also a lot. Like, I mean, let's not downplay it. It's a ton of work. I'm 44 years old. And I mean, I've been working as a professional speaker now for 14 years. And I wish I was at a point in my life when I could put as much into making content and, but that's just not realistic for me. I have kids. I have, you know, other focuses that have to take that, but it's a lot of work. Like, you're not, you know, this is no, like you describe it like I'm putting out a video in half an hour. Fine. But this is a full-time gig.
It's more the mental, it's the mental gymnastics that you're in. Like, you're like, because like I said, your videos aren't doing as well as they used to. And now you're in your head about, oh, am I not funny anymore? Do people, am I able to make a video that's that successful? You start getting attached. So seeing that success is great, but then having to like, follow up that success with every single video, and you want to top it, and it's like that side is not really seen too much. But like on the mental aspect, it's like, oh, like Chip's just making these funny videos, but it's like, oh, like I've been like, oh, I'm trying to like, how can I make this funnier? How can I add something? How can I top it? And then that became like, I've had my own kind of battle with that, with the self. And it's like, why am I doing this? Am I doing this to make someone laugh, or am I doing this
to seek validation
and see how many views I can get?
Yeah.
And that becomes a kind of a crazy space, especially if someone wants to become a creator. Like, it's like this has its own set of mental, it's not, I wouldn't say it's physically hard, it's just mentally tough. And it's like when you see the success, it's like, how can I like continue to be at the top of the game, or like how can I continue to like be seen? And
how much does that weigh on you now? Like, how much does it weigh on you day to day? You wake up, and I mean, at the end of the day, like, you're, how old are you now?
I'm 25.
So you're 25 and you're clearly doing well. I mean, what's your follower count? Give me your numbers.
I don't even know. I mean, it's probably around like 1 million across all platforms. Like, probably around there.
You know, you're looking at that, and that becomes your livelihood. That becomes the next thing. That becomes your future and your plan. I mean, how much does that weigh on you every day you wake up? Are you going to stay relevant? Are you going to be able to continue with this?
Yeah, that's a big one. It's like, for me, I've actually taken a break recently. I'd never taken a break. It was like 2 years. Like, I came on the scene hot. I was every day a new video. And I feel like I needed to do that in order to like build this thing.
Yeah.
And it was like, now I've gone like a week without making a new video and not posting. Yeah. Before, like, I was like 24. I would literally be running home to my buddies. I got like 11 minutes to post this video. And I'd be like, I just like film like a reaction video. And for me, it was more of just like making sure I did it was like, it was like staying true to like, I'm going to make a video every day. And then getting on this streak, I was like, I made a video every day for like over a year. And it was like, oh, I just have to make one today. It doesn't matter if it's not good. It was just, I need to get it out. And that was its own anxiety in and of itself. I was like, I need to have a video every day.
Yeah.
And then recently, I went through the summer where there was definitely highs and lows. And I was like, oh, like, I'm good. I don't need to make a video today. Like, let me just like give myself a little break. And I hadn't done that in like 2 years of coming onto the scene.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a change. But having some of that space and being able to talk to some other people that are in the similar areas, like, you know, we all kind of go through like that. You know, there's times where it's like you have all the creativity and the ideas are just flowing, and then other times where you're trying to force ideas. And I think it is good to still get creative and force yourself to be creative, because it can get you back into it. It's hard to like take a week off and then like go and try to make a skit. It's like you've taken a week, and it's like, whereas whenever I get up there and like I force myself to be creative, I'm like, okay, I got to go create something.
Yeah.
And it's like sitting there and then silencing yourself. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen here? There's no plan, but let me, and when the season's on, it's easier, because
of course
that's kind of why I navigated to like the NHL, kind of playing off the news in the NHL, because it forced me to be less creative, or like less, it gave me an idea and then I could create off it. But coming up with a new concept, with a new skit, a new sketch.
Yeah.
Like, those don't just fly off the roof. Like, a really good sketch takes some planning and takes time. Yeah. And probably take some writing. which yeah. I don't like, which I wasn't, it wasn't my strong suit. So all my stuff is improv. After the game, I take whatever, these little moment. Oh, I saw that clip of Matthews with the tennis. That's funny.
Let me,
Dad, do we have any tennis rackets?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, let me get the tennis racket in the video. And then, and then that's where I can truly just like be my like creative self. And like, how am I going to depict this kind of funny banter between the two players that, you know, I can't believe that you told the media that, I, you know what I mean? It's like taking it serious and then making it like serious.
I think we should challenge them to a doubles match. I'm just
saying. I think we should too.
Yeah.
I would love to get it. I'm more of a ping pong guy. The tennis.
You know what?
I can't do the tennis too well.
I got then. You.
I can believe myself though. I can do the tennis.
And I got you. Like tennis was my other sport growing up.
I'm going to need my partner because and I'm coordinated. I am. Coach does claim to be one of the most coordinated people on the earth.
I love it. I do. I'll just put you up on the net in case they like.
Put me on the net. I'm just going to be, I'll be the.
I love it.
But
it's kind of like ping pong, right? If you're up at the net, you've just got to be able to react to that.
Yeah. Reaction.
Get the racket.
I'm here. I'm here with it. I'm in. Reacting.
I mean, I love it so much. I feel like we could talk forever here.
Yeah.
I also feel like we shouldn't talk forever because eventually people will stop listening and that would be really sad for them.
Don't stop.
But I know, right? Don't, please don't. Just don't go.
And I'm a talker. I just mumble. I now everyone knows I'm just a talker.
I'm the like same way. We'd be in trouble. I think maybe like, I think we could probably just fill dead air together for hours and hours. But the beauty of it is I'm so like interested in what you're talking about because it's so much of my own journey that I'm just like, I don't want you to stop because the difference between you and I is like, for kids to see you, for kids to see, you know, a young man who's come up through it, who's living his dream right now with purpose and to, oh my gosh, I just called you a young man and I felt really old. I'm going to need a minute to recover.
I like young man. I feel like I'm getting up there now.
I feel like maybe you have to call me ma'am now or something. Ma'am. This just got painful.
We're all young.
Oh, and I feel it. I mean, I do feel it. And that's the thing, right? Like I'm somebody who's like, I work out every day. I gotta stay active. I gotta meditate. I gotta do mindfulness. I have to get good sleep. I have to eat well. I mean, to me, my mental health doesn't stay here unless I do the things to keep it there. And I think that that's so important. And I just think it's so important that guys like you are sharing this message because there's this whole population of kids out there and of men out there who still don't feel safe being honest about the journey they're on. And it's so detrimental. I mean, sadly, the statistics don't lie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I'm looking, I'm coming into another speaking tour right now and at the university level and at the university athlete level, I mean, level, you look in the US right now, suicide is the second leading cause of death of student athletes. And like, we have so many new pressures and there's just like this constant, like you were talking about our civilization, it's the rat race. It's very much, you got to prove yourself 24/7 because there's no time. It's not following you anymore. Mm-hmm. And here you are in an industry that is very much in the middle of that. You're in the middle of that industry that is like, you know, I watched something yesterday and it was this guy that was saying, I refuse to look at my phone for the first 2 hours when I'm awake because I get to choose my thoughts. I get to choose what I don't have to react to yet. And it's going to be there. Mm-hmm. It's not going anywhere. It's waiting for me to discover it. And it's waiting for me to become reactionary. But for 2 hours, I'm going to make the choices for myself and I'm going to do the things that I need to do so that my thoughts can be my own. And it was just so bizarre to me because it's so true. We don't have room for our own thoughts anymore. And that sense of self and presence is so lost in the chaos that is the expectation and the validation and the seeking and I like what you're saying is just, it's so important and so relevant. I'm so grateful that you're willing to have this conversation because it would be really easy for you to just keep putting out videos and not easy. That's not what I mean. But it would be very understandable for you to continue just having that be your focus, you know, having fun and making others smile. And I think it's so important for people to see the other side of this, which is very true to who you are.
Yeah. And I appreciate the outlet to even be able to talk about this because it kind of did feel like a therapy session a little bit. And just I appreciate the listen. And because I don't get to really show this side. And because it's always so goofy and like, oh, it's this happy go lucky kind of funny side. But yeah, there's definitely the other side, which is a lot more serious and a lot more kind of thought that goes into, you know, all the movement. And like, for me, like the Style and Flow brand is a lot more aligned with this conversation than anything else that I do online. Like, having this platform to be able to, talk and kind of talk about what the Style and Flow means to me, and like what I appreciate that outlet to be able to just talk about it.
Well, and I think that's the thing too, right? Both can be true. Like, both can be true. You can be this happy go lucky, fun hockey guy who's like out there and making people smile and finding such intense purpose in that. And for people to truly understand why that purpose and that creativity is so important to you, this is the other piece of it, right? This is the conversation that, you know, more genuinely connects to you and the energy that you feel on a day-to-day basis. And I don't think that there's anything contradictory. I think it's so important that people understand that both are true. Both are real. And that is true for most people in this world. We have this, you know, expectation of what people are presenting us. And it's all about what you said about kind of getting curious and really wanting to offer that energy to other and connect with others. And, you know, I think that people lose the importance of that in their life. They're always striving for the what next, and they forget the what's happening right now and what's really important at the end of it all.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll share a story with you, and this is a really, it could come across as a really sad story, and I don't mean for it to, because that's not where I hold it in my heart. I lost my father a few months ago, and my father, you made my heart smile so big when you referred to your dad as Pops, because that's what I called my dad. And it was just like, I'm sure if I go back on the video that I must have smiled the second you said it, because I heard it and I was like, oh, I just felt it in my heart. And it's just the honesty of that conversation. But my father, he had dementia and Parkinson's. And so unfortunately, at the end, he was required to be in a home. And I mean, gratefully, we were in a position where we were able to be with him almost every day. Oh, every single day that he was there, my mother, my brother, myself, one of us was there. And I remember one of the days more recently before he passed, I went in there, and unfortunately, he had some moments that were very detached and confusing, and he wasn't able to connect with reality the same way. But this goes to the importance of really being present and trying to figure out what's important to us and giving up that control. And I think watching dementia was really a stark realization for me, and in really reminding me to stay present and to not try to control what I couldn't, and to not allow my emotions to fall into what I feared was coming and what I was angry about that was happening to him, but instead being grateful that I still got what I was getting. And I had this moment with him, and I was sitting with him in his room, and there was a puppy on the bed beside us, a little dash hound. And he's on the bed, and I was sitting in front of my father, and my father was sitting in a wheelchair that day. And he had taken my hand, and he was holding my hand. And he started kind of like petting my hand, and I realized he thought he was holding the dog. He was looking at the dog, and he was petting my hand as though he was holding the dog. And my first reaction was like, heartbreak. That's so sad. He can't even realize this. And then my next reaction was to try not to giggle, because there was the part of it that was like, okay, this is kind of funny. He's petting my hand. And then there was just this peace that washed over me. And that peace was in knowing that he was so content in that moment. He wasn't fighting his illness. He wasn't angry or confused. In his self, he was so just in the moment of finding joy and knowing he was surrounded by love, and that there was some peaceful moment in that day for him. And it was just such this beautiful reminder of the energy of connection and perception, and not having to make something what it's not, but instead existing in it as it is, and letting go of that sense of ego that is needing it to be what it's not. And I heard you talking about that in that conversation of just kind of offering people the energy and meeting them with that, and that smile, and just meeting them with a smile and having no expectation other than that shared positive energy. And I just had that in such a profound moment that I was so grateful for. And it was so bizarre and so complex, but it's so simple. And it's those things that matter.
I appreciate you sharing that. That's a very special moment. And
it was so cool. Like, it was so cool. And it's so, like, I think about these moments and I'm like, wow, this is just like, that's so out there. But at the same time, like, no, that's what matters. What matters is just showing up for each other with positive energy and good intentions and like allowing those connections to happen wherever they can. Because there's enough crap in the world and there's enough bad in the world and there's enough sad and hurt and we're all going to get hit by it. None of us gets out of here without it.
Yeah. 100%.
But to like actually focus on just being like, you know what? Screw everything else. I am just going with, this is great. He's smiling. I'm smiling. We're both happy. Nothing is wrong in this moment.
I love that. Right? I love that you had that moment and that chance and that.
Oh, it was, you know, yes. What? The energy of the world is, I got stuck in an elevator with him a week later. And I was like, you know what? There was a day that this would have scared the hell out of me, but this is perfect. I'll never not have that moment of being stuck in an elevator with my father, rocking out on the music on my phone, because he, like you, loved the Doors and loved the classic rock. And I have a playlist because music brings us back, right? Music brings us back so deeply, and it's so profound too with dementia patients. And it's like, it just, music always brought him back to me. And I had to segue away from it earlier when we were talking about music because I felt it crawling up there. I was like, nope, we're going to bypass this for a minute, but I'm good now. I'm good, recovered. But I'm so grateful for you. I appreciate you so much. We do have to touch on one more thing before I let you go. Just announced Quench Chippy Cup Tourney.
Oh,
let me hear about it.
Next summer, we're doing the end of summer. I think it's going to be June. We're doing one in Oshawa.
Yeah.
And then I've been here and I got to go out east. And my buddy actually just moved to Nova Scotia. And I was like, yo, I got to go to Halifax.
Beauty.
I've never seen East Coast Canada.
It's gorgeous.
It's time for Coach Chip to see Canada a little bit more.
I love it.
Yeah, that's going to be really exciting. Just a day. I just want it to be a positive energy day. We have some fun or a weekend. And for me, I want to do a lot more in-person stuff.
Yeah.
Just because that's what's real. You know, you can connect with people and have these types of conversations. You never know who you're going to meet. And for me, it's like being able to get outside more and do more stuff in the community and meet more people and have more meaningful conversations. Like, that's really the goal for me, and to grow as a person. And I want to travel more. I want to see the world. And
I love
that's definitely an area that I haven't traveled enough, but I've
been beautiful.
This year I've been on planes. I'm going everywhere and it's been amazing. And it kind of, living out my dream, I guess, in its own way. It's not how I expected it to be. There are its own challenges, and there's going to be ups and there's downs, but kind of being able to see the world and grow as a person, meet new people, and be comfortable with being alone as well. And you know, being able to accept, and it's okay to, you know, I love being alone. I love being by myself. That's where I feel like I'm most creative. And and then once you really develop that relationship with yourself, being able to then know what you're looking for in a friend or someone else, right? And kind of being content with who you are. And I definitely feel, this next little journey for me is definitely going to be meeting new people. And
I love it.
And I'm excited for it.
When
for
I saw it come up, I love it. And that's why I brought it to attention, because I'm one of those people who thinks that connection and community are the, you know, two of the most important things we have in this world. And so when I saw those, I was pretty stoked for you, because I was thinking, you know what, that's awesome. He gets to go out there, he gets to be with kids who are looking up to him every day. And I mean, also, if you need a goalie for your skills contest,
Oshawa. We got Oshawa. You want to go Halifax?
I go to Halifax almost annually to speak out there, actually. So it's I'll take a look at the dates. I'll try to put them in my calendar and make sure that I can schedule myself so that I'm in the right area. But if you need a goalie out there,
that would be amazing.
I'd love to shut you down to talk.
I'd love to get you to even talk or like do something.
I want to have like a mental health talk.
I would love that. Like do something.
Absolutely.
And I've never done like a public speaking like that, but it would be cool to like,
we could hook it up. We'll do it like a fireside chat, like a little panel interview. And I can maybe that's something I can help ease you into a bit. You can help me with my social media videos.
Yeah, 100%.
I'll help you feel comfortable up on stage there, sharing some different stories for yourself.
I would love that. Okay, let's do it. Let's get that organized. 2025, okay. Summer 2025.
Love it. I'm in for it. Thank you so much for staying with me here today, Coach Chippy. It was amazing talking to you, and I can't wait to see what's coming next.
Kendra, I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you sharing as well. And I'm excited to get on here again, maybe talk a little bit more. So,
absolutely. We'll sign you up.
Let's go.
Okay. Take care.
Take care.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of Speakeasy, where we believe conversations are meant to be had out loud. Share this episode to help others find our show, and don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also join me at KFisher30 on Instagram as I travel across Canada and the US tackling the current mental health crisis with colleges and universities.